A Chinese battery giant has just launched the world's first mass-produced electric car, powered by sodium-ion batteries. The cost? An astonishing $59 per kilowatt-hour. That's a price point that could completely upend the global EV market. What does this mean for Western automakers, and how should they respond?
Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking four critical themes. First, a major cost disruption from China in the battery space that could redefine the affordable EV market. Second, the massive U.S. government response, with billions of dollars being deployed to build a domestic supply chain from mine to recycling. Third, the quiet but crucial manufacturing race to cut battery production costs. And finally, how the insatiable energy demands of AI are creating a boom market for energy storage.
It's a pivotal moment. The technology decisions made this year will determine market leadership for the next decade.
Let's start with that bombshell number, Troy. CATL, the Chinese battery behemoth, has started mass production of its Nextra sodium-ion batteries, hitting a cost of $59 per kilowatt-hour in a new EV from Changan Automobile. For our listeners, put that price in context.
It's a paradigm shift. For years, the industry benchmark for EV affordability has been $100 per kilowatt-hour. CATL has shattered that. They've achieved this by replacing lithium with sodium, a far more abundant and cheaper element. This isn't a lab experiment. This is mass production, beginning now. CATL even predicts cost parity with LFP batteries by the end of 2026.
Beyond cost, what's the technology here, and why does it matter globally this week?
The Nextra battery offers an energy density of 175 watt-hours per kilogram, which is competitive with entry-level lithium iron phosphate, or LFP, batteries. But its key advantage is low temperature performance. It retains 90% of its capacity at a frigid minus 40 degrees Celsius, solving a major pain point for EV owners in cold climates. Globally, this establishes a new lower-cost technology track for EVs, controlled almost entirely by a Chinese company.
So how does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers? This sounds like a massive competitive threat.
It is. Western automakers focused on premium, long-range EVs are now vulnerable at the entry level. This technology enables a new class of highly affordable urban EVs that could be difficult to compete with on price. European manufacturers in particular face the threat of low-cost Chinese EVs, now powered by even cheaper batteries, flooding their home market. The opportunity is to license this technology or rapidly accelerate their own sodium-ion R&D.
And for Western trading companies and distributors?
This creates a new market. There will be demand for sourcing these sodium-ion cells or the precursor materials for them. However, they must be acutely aware of geopolitical risks. A reliance on a single-source Chinese technology could become a liability if trade tensions escalate and tariffs are imposed. Market timing is critical. Getting in early could be lucrative, but requires careful risk management.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives?
Automotive executives must immediately reassess their product roadmaps. Does this open up a new, profitable, high-volume segment they can enter? Or does it represent a segment they must now see to Chinese competition? A do-nothing approach is the most dangerous.
So as China innovates on cost with sodium ion, we're seeing a huge strategic response from the United States. This week was a flurry of announcements from the Department of Energy. What's the big picture?
The U.S. is executing a clear strategy to build a fully domestic closed-loop battery supply chain. It's a direct counter to foreign dependency. We saw the DOE finalize a $2 billion conditional loan to Redwood Materials for its Nevada Battery Materials Campus. This facility will recycle end-of-life batteries and produce enough anode and cathode materials for over 1 million EVs annually.
That's a huge investment. Is it a one-off or part of a larger push?
It's much larger. On August 21st, the DOE also awarded $500 million in grants to seven other projects. This includes $100 million for Lilac Solutions to build a commercial lithium extraction facility in Utah using environmentally friendly direct lithium extraction, and another $100 million for Nth Cycle to refine black mass from used batteries. This is funding for the entire value chain.
How does this directly impact U.S. and European manufacturers?
For U.S. manufacturers, this is a golden opportunity to de-risk their supply chains. They can now partner with companies like Redwood, Lilac, and Nth Cycle to secure a domestic and often more sustainable supply of critical materials like lithium, nickel, and cobalt. For European manufacturers, this signals the competitive landscape is shifting. They need to watch if the EU will match this level of strategic investment, or they risk falling behind in building their own regional secure supply chain.
What should trading companies and distributors be watching?
They need to update their sourcing maps. The era of assuming all refining happens in Asia is ending. These DOE-funded projects will create new North American sources for high-purity battery-grade materials. Trading companies should be initiating conversations and exploring offtake agreements with these new domestic producers now, before their capacity is fully booked by the major automakers.
What's the bottom line for a Western executive?
They should immediately direct their supply chain teams to engage with these newly funded American companies. The goal is to lock in future capacity and reduce geopolitical exposure. This is a chance to build more resilient and transparent supply chains, which is a competitive advantage in itself.
Troy, several reports this week, from LG Energy Solution in Korea to Dragonfly Energy in the U.S., mentioned something called dry electro technology. It sounds technical, but it also sounds important. Break it down for us.
It's a fundamental shift in how batteries are made, and it's a huge deal for manufacturing costs. The traditional method is a wet process. You mix active materials with binders and a solvent to create a slurry, coat it onto a metal foil, and then bake it in massive, energy-intensive ovens to evaporate the solvent.
And the dry process?
The dry process eliminates the solvent and the ovens. You mix dry powders and use pressure or other techniques to apply them directly to the foil. By removing that drying step, which is a major bottleneck and energy consumer, estimates suggest you can cut battery manufacturing costs by 10 to 20% at gigafactory scale.
So why does this matter globally right now?
Because it's a technology race. LG Energy Solution revealed it has invested over $500 million in R&D in the first half of 2026, with a major focus on dry electrodes, and has filed over 450 patents. In the U.S., the DOE is funding projects, including with Solid Power, to develop dry process manufacturing for solid-state batteries, aiming for over 400 watt-hours per kilogram. The winners will build cheaper, more efficient factories.
What's the implication for U.S. and European manufacturers?
This is a direct threat to any company building a traditional wet process gigafactory today. They risk building a plant that is economically obsolete before it even reaches full capacity. They must invest heavily in their own dry electrode R&D or partner with technology leaders like Dragonfly Energy to stay competitive on cost.
And for trading companies and distributors sourcing batteries?
They need to ask their suppliers about their manufacturing process. Batteries produced using a dry process will likely have a lower cost base and potentially better performance and consistency. This should become a key question in sourcing negotiations and supplier audits. It's a new axis of differentiation.
Your actionable insight for executives on this?
Chief technology officers and VPs of manufacturing must benchmark their current production roadmaps against dry coating technology. They need to ask, are we investing enough to lead, or are we at risk of being left behind with stranded high-cost assets? A technology acquisition or strategic partnership could be necessary to close the gap.
Let's pivot from making batteries to using them. We saw a series of announcements this week tying massive energy storage projects directly to the power demands of AI. Cummins is supplying a huge BESS for a U.S. data center, and Fluence Energy is highlighting this as a core driver of their growth. What's happening here?
AI workloads are incredibly power-intensive and are causing an explosion in electricity consumption at data centers. This isn't a steady, predictable load. It fluctuates wildly. To ensure the 24/7 high-quality power that AI models require, data centers are now deploying their own grid-scale battery systems.
So this is a completely new market driver for batteries, separate from EVs and renewable energy?
Exactly. And it's a massive one. Look at Form Energy, which makes long-duration iron-air batteries. They just raised $750 million, and their project backlog has quadrupled from 20 to 80 gigawatt-hours, with partners like Google cited as key customers. This demand is also driving the broader market. The U.S. now has 52 gigawatts of utility-scale storage, growing 70% annually, with another 54 gigawatts planned by 2028.
How should U.S. and European manufacturers view this trend?
This is a huge opportunity, and not just for battery cell makers. It's a market for integrated systems, power conversion systems, advanced software, and thermal management.
we see industrial giants like Cummins leveraging their expertise in power generation to capture a piece of this market. European firms like Siemens or Schneider Electric are also well-positioned to provide the control systems and software that these complex projects require.
What do trading companies and distributors need to know?
The product they're selling is changing. For the data center market, it's not just about shipping containers of battery cells. Customers want fully integrated, turnkey best solutions. Sourcing partnerships need to be with system integrators like Fluence Energy, who combine hardware, software, and long-term service agreements. This is a solution sale, not a component sale.
And the actionable takeaway for executives listening?
If you're in the tech industry, your C-suite needs to have a strategy for energy. Future data center site selection will be determined by grid access and the ability to co-locate energy storage. If you're in the industrial or energy sectors, you must evaluate how to pivot your products and services to meet this surging demand from the digital economy.
All right, Troy, a lot of ground covered this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the low-cost EV market has been redefined. CATL's $59 per kilowatt-hour sodium-ion battery is a commercial reality. Western auto executives must decide now whether to compete in this segment or cede it. A cost competitiveness review of all EV programs is urgent.
Second,
the U.S. is aggressively reshoring the battery supply chain, with billions in DOE loans and grants flowing to companies like Redwood Materials and Nth-Cycle. New domestic sources of critical materials are coming online. Supply chain leaders should be engaging these players now to secure future capacity and mitigate geopolitical risk.
And the third takeaway,
the twin demands of AI data centers and grid stabilization are creating a second massive boom for the energy storage industry, independent of EVs. Executives in industrial manufacturing and energy need to develop clear strategies to sell systems and services into this rapidly growing market. Ignoring the power demands of the digital economy is a major strategic blind spot.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The pace of change is accelerating, and we'll be here next week to help you make sense of it. For Troy Technical Intelligence, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. Thank you for listening.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode of your weekly strategic briefing.